And we're back with today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman, and joining you, I'm sure, in our hopes for Joseph Cooper's speedy return from a severe back injury. Well, 1 week from today, the 2014 FIFA World Cup kicks off at 4 p.m. Eastern Time with Brazil playing Croatia in Sao Paulo, Brazil. What does that have to do with food and dining? Well, we'll find out. Joining us now is Cordon Bleu chef, author and syndicated columnist and friend.
Why do you laugh every time you say that, Bonnie?
Because you're always waiting for me to say it. Linda Gassenheimer. Welcome, Linda. What are we serving up today?
What are we serving up? World Cup, as you said. It starts next week. So I've been thinking about Brazilian food. What else would I think about?
Of course.
So what are the flavors or what are the popular dishes there? Anna French has some answers for us. She's the author of a Brazilian cookbook, and it's called A Pinch, a Dash, and a Pocketful of Cash. Well, welcome, Anna French.
Good afternoon, Linda. Good afternoon to all, and thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. She filled us. She filled the studio with food. What could be worse?
Or better.
Okay, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What is your favorite Brazilian dish? Or do you have some questions for Anna French? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And I think we do have email, Bonnie?
We do. It's radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, also with us is our favorite wine guy. It's Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. He gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can read in today's Miami Herald. You can also read Fred's wine column in today's Herald. And Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, what do you need with big chunks of steak served on a sword? You need big red wine to go with it. And the best choice would be wine from Brazil.
Well, Anna is giving you a thumbs up, Fred.
Good. Glad to see it. Well, okay. Hear it.
Anyway, Anna French, Brazilian cuisine. Now, it seems to me that Brazil is such a melting pot. So many different cultures live there, different customs. So tell me, what are some of the typical Brazilian flavors?
Well, I say that Brazil is a melting pot of a huge diversity of several types, a variety of backgrounds. You have German, you have Portuguese, you have Indonesian, you have African.
And all of these flavors come together
in
the various dishes.
It comes together in a perfect combination in the kitchen.
Well, I will say it's perfect because we're eating it right now. But before we get to that, I love your title, A Pinch, a Dash, and a Pocketful of Cash.
Yeah, what about that cash?
So explain that to us.
Well, I decided to come up with this cookbook based on Brazilian recipes, some of which are my own creations, and to make it budget conscious so everybody can enjoy a rich Brazilian meal.
So these are Brazilian dishes with their pocketbook in mind.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh. So, when you go to Brazilian restaurants here in Miami anyway, many of them are just all meat, meat on a sword, we've been saying.
Yes, we call that in Brazil rodízio. Rodízio, right. Or churrasco.
Okay.
In Brazil, we call those type of restaurants churrascarias.
And is that typical of most of the restaurants there?
Yes.
So explain what it is, because some people may not have been.
It's a world wild of all different types of meat, from chicken, from lamb, to every single part of the pork, beef, and sausage, and all that yummy stuff.
And then they come around to the table, and they'll keep coming and coming.
They'll
and
keep coming until you put that red sign that says no.
That's my favorite part about it. You could consume 5,000 calories in a couple of hours at one of those.
That is true. And my strong advice is go there very hungry. Don't go there on a full stomach.
I have a question for Anna, because we were talking before and she said she's never taken a culinary course. She's never used to, at least, read a cookbook. And is your mom listening right now?
No, she's not. I hope not.
Okay. And that your mom was not the best cook. So where did you get this?
Like I told you, at the age of 8, I baked my first cake. And from there, I just kept on. I never stopped.
And so how did you decide to write a cookbook? Because that's not sort of your profession.
No, it's not. It's something that it's been in the back burner for many years. Just never really came around to doing it. And I took advantage that I was unemployed for 1 year, and I decided to take that negative time of being unemployed, if you want to say, and turn it into something positive. While looking for work, I decided to write.
Well, we're the benefits of the positive thinking. Now, so that's, we've been talking about this food here in the studio. So tell me, there's a shrimp dish. So tell us what this is.
That is a very typical dish from Brazil. It's called bobó de camarão, which camarão in Portuguese means shrimp.
So that means rice and shrimp, or what does that mean?
No, bobó is just the name that we call it.
Okay.
It's a mixture of juca with shrimp.
Well, and it's got an orange or red sauce on that. So what's in it?
It's tomato sauce with juca, coconut milk, parsley, green scallions, green peppers, onions, basil leaves. Just a rich combination of, and lemon juice.
Wow. And it's and you've served it over rice here.
Just
plain white rice, or is it?
Yes, we just serve it over a bed of white rice and you're good to go.
Are there a lot of hot spices in Brazilian cooking?
Yes, there is. On certain regions of Brazil, especially if you go to the northern region, states called Bahia, Recife, they tend to use an oil. It's called azeite, which means would be a type of olive oil. Azeite de dendê. Very hot.
And what makes it hot?
It's extracted from, it's called, in English translated, it would be palm oil.
But palm oil is not hot. Spicy.
Yeah. Well, the palm oil, I'm trying to translate it the best way possible, but it's called azeite de dendê, and it's very spicy, and they use that a lot in Brazilian culinary.
So there, but now this is not spicy at all. It's just a very nice, mild flavors.
You can make it spicy. You can add your red peppers to it, your jalapenos.
Now here's another dish that I like really a lot. It's got so many layers of flavor in it. It's a chicken dish. So tell us about that.
Oh, the chicken salad that I bought in today? It's called salpicão, chicken salpicão. It's a chicken salad, and it just has a variety of little things in there, apples and peas and corn and carrots and chicken breasts, and you top it off with the little potato sticks.
Well, and it's got raisins in it?
Yes, you have raisins.
What is the and sauce? Olives.
Olives, yes.
I mean, there's no grapes?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was the raisin then. I tasted that.
Yes, it was the raisins, probably.
So then what is the white sauce on it that you've mixed with it?
The white sauce is, in this particular salad, I use a can of table cream and a little bit of mayo.
A can of table cream?
Yes, a can of table cream.
I don't know what it
is. What is a
can?
Table cream. Like evaporated milk?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's in the same section as the evaporated milk and the condensed milk.
Okay.
And it's called canned
it's
cream.
Called it's called table cream.
Now, is that a specialty market or is that
No, you can find it in Walmart. You can find it in Publix.
Okay. I didn't know about
actually,
that.
Something actually,
to learn about. Well, I'm sure that's not very rich. but what I liked is the layer of flavors. And then it's just covered with these little potato sticks.
Yes, yes.
Now, you told me that you can make that a day ahead.
Yes. We eat that a lot. Because on the weekends, especially in Rio, we tend to do a lot of barbecues. Like I said, we're very big on meat, very big on barbecues. So we make that the day before, and we serve that with the barbecue, with the meats.
So it's a side dish.
Yes, more meat.
So now, let's say we're going to be watching the World Cup, having friends over, and maybe we want to make Brazilian food. Give us some tips on a simple, easy Brazilian party.
Okay. Well, the first thing off, you have to have the caipirinha.
I was going to ask you about that, but I was going to wait till Fred came in to ask you about that.
Tell us what it is.
I'm sure Fred knows what I'm talking about, right, Fred?
Oh, yes. Very tasty.
That is a traditional, the most traditional drink in Brazil. It's made out of sugar, lemons, lemon juice, and cachaça, which is our version of tequila.
Fred,
so you
want
to
weigh in on this?
Well, all I can say is I've had them and I like them.
And you're here to tell the tale.
I am.
Okay, so after we've had that, does that mean we aren't eating anything else?
No, what else are we going to have? We have a appetizer, cod fritters, made out of cod
bacalhau.
Yes, bacalhau. Yeah. We have pão de queijo, which are little cheese breads, round cheese breads. We have frango a passarinho, which is chicken all seasoned up, and you just deep fry it.
Wow. Mm. So if we're going to have a party, we just make all of these and put them out?
Yeah, they're little appetizers. Now, in Brazil, we're very big on appetizers as well. We do not drink on an empty stomach. If you drink, you have to have something to nibble on, something to eat, something... You have to have something to eat.
So there are several different types of appetizers,
yes.
And it's in your
yes.
book. And can many of them be made in advance?
Yes, yes. The chicken, the deep fried chicken that I told you about, you can season that the day before, and then when everybody's over and while they're having their caipirinhas, you can just deep fry that
and what do you season that with?
Salt, pepper, a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of lemon juice, garlic. Heavy on the garlic and heavy on the scallions. The green scallions you want to sprinkle on top once it's already in the dish on the table to serve. You just sprinkle it on top.
Great. Mm-hmm. Now, people going down to Brazil, if they're going down for the tournament, you told me something that surprised me. What's going on in Rio?
Oh, all the neighborhoods. There's actually a contest going on in Rio of the most decorated street in the neighborhood. So the journalists in Rio are going to several different neighborhoods, several different barrios, and there are people, the neighbors from each neighborhood are just decorating the streets with all in yellow and green and flags and the trophy. And
so a big party in
big,
Rio.
Big party.
Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about Brazilian cuisine and Brazilian parties with Anna French. We'll take a short break and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Anna French. She's the author of A Pinch, a Dash, and a Pocketful of Cash, Simple Recipes for the Budget-Conscious Cook. And these are simple Brazilian recipes. And she's been giving us some tips about Brazilian dishes and how to create a Brazilian-style party for the World Cup tournament at home. And on another note, please come and see me this Sunday, June 8th at 2 p.m. I'm going to be giving a smoothie demonstration. That's a smoothie drink. Bonnie's looking at me. What?
No.
It's going to be at the FIU Jewish Museum of Florida. It's from my latest book, Simply Smoothies. It's for the American Diabetes Association. So how about a peanut butter banana smoothie? Come and taste it. Bonnie?
I think Elvis Presley would love that.
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
I was just going to say, I was going to call it an Elvis Presley smoothie, but I thought peanut butter banana sounded good,
now,
too.
Now, why didn't you bring any of these in for us to taste?
Well, we're having Brazilian today.
Okay.
All
but
right.
I think peanut butter and banana smoothie would go great with...
With the Brazilian food? Okay. The museum?
Do you have any with a little rum in them?
That would be good, right? Yeah. The museum is located at 301 Washington Avenue on South Beach. And for more information, go to jewishmuseum.com. That's this Sunday at 2 p.m. Come on over and have a taste. And now it's dinner in minutes time. So, dinner in minutes today. It's summer. It's a quick and easy summer dish. It's sausage potato salad. Now, you can serve this either warm or at room temperature. And it's even better made a day ahead because then the potatoes absorb the sauce. So what you do is you just cut some potatoes into about half-inch pieces and don't even peel them, just wash them. I put them in cold water, put a cover on it, and bring it to the boil for 15 minutes. That's all. Meanwhile, I take a turkey sausage, but if Joe were here, he'd have me do a pork sausage.
A regular
absolutely.
Sausage.
I was going to say.
Yes. So for Joe, we'd make a pork sausage. Cut them into slices and sauté them, and then you just make a dressing of some vinegar and mustard and some oil, and add a little chopped onion to it. And if you didn't want to make your own dressing, then just buy your favorite vinegar and oil dressing, add some chopped onion, mix that into the warm potatoes so they can absorb the sauce with the sausages, serve it with some sliced tomatoes, a warm baguette. So simple. And the complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And also, if you'd like another recipe, try my wasabi-crusted salmon salad. That's in today's Miami Herald. And please follow me on Twitter. That's @LGassenheimer. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, we're drinking Brazilian wine, and with the, of course, with the equator cutting all the way across Brazil, you might think it's too hot there to make wine, but you'd be wrong. Brazil is a big country, and it has a wine region in the Serra Gaúcha mountain range that's 1,800 miles south of the equator, and it's 2,000 feet up in the mountains, so it's plenty cool for grapes. In fact, the first wines in either of the Americas started there in 1532, which is centuries earlier than the United States, when a Portuguese grower came to plant vines in his country's colony. And the vines failed, but at least it was a start. And from then on, winemaking in Brazil was kind of up and down, going up when Jesuit priests made sacramental wines in the 1600s. Going down in the 1700s as Portugal banned it for competing with its own wines. And then there's been a wave of modernization since 1990, in which the wines are getting a lot better. And today, Brazil specializes in lively, sparkling wines, plus Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, they're kind of hard to find in Florida.
I was going to ask you about that. Would it say Brazilian wines on it, or...?
It would, and I called 7 big Brazilian restaurants in South Florida and did not locate a single bottle. They tend to serve Chilean and Argentinian wines. So, although, now I have to say this may be changing with Brazil's FIFA World Cup hoopla. The country is making a big push to sell its wines here. And the distributor called Vinícola Perini has Brazilian Macaw brand Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and some other wines at Global Liquors in Miami and Bistro Mezzaluna in Fort Lauderdale and some other locations. Also, if you really want to get out and try some Brazilian wines, in Palm Beach, Café Beaulieu in the Brazilian Court Hotel is bringing in some Brazilian wines and holding a $75 Brazilian wine dinner on June 26th, featuring Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. And you can sign up for that by calling 561-655-6060. Now, I tasted some Brazilian wines at a Brazilian restaurant in Miami years ago, and I found that the sparkling wines, that's kind of their specialty these days, and they're nice and soft and rich and dry, and the reds are big and hearty. Just the thing, as I was saying, to go with those chunks of beef, lamb, and pork that Brazilian restaurant waiters keep bringing to your table and bringing to your table while you try to eat them up and you can never catch up. So you really do need some pretty sturdy wine to go with that.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds very delicious. Thank you, Fred. We have a phone call here on line one. It's Jacques in Miami Beach. Hi, Jacques, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you? It's me again.
Yes.
I am French, but I'm Brazilian also. And I think before we end the show, we have to talk about our national dish. It is called feijoada.
Feijoada, yes. Yes, of course. Anna?
Yes. And, feijoada, feijão, as beans. And it's made of black beans. Originally, it's the dish we serve to slaves.
Well, Anna was, Jacques, Anna was telling me about this dish. Anna, you have a feijoada in your book, but
yes.
You say it's French style. It's your style.
Yes, I kind of tweaked it a little bit my way. And I do give both options of doing it my way or the traditional way. But yes, it is a food that originated from the slaves.
And Jacques was trying to tell us that what you were telling me, Anna, is that originally it was the slaves because they ate the parts of the pig that their masters wouldn't eat.
Exactly.
Which are now considered the gourmet parts of the pig.
Yes.
Exactly. And the way to do it in the Brazilian way, because the French do something called cassoulet, which is you get your black beans, you cook them halfway, and then you start adding pork parts like...
That is correct.
Yes, feet and ears and nose and tail. And everything is salted. And after the beans are cooked, then it's ready. And you will serve it with orange slices and what you call in America,
yes,
collard greens.
Okay, Jacques, well, thank you so much for your call. Talking about the orange slices, Anna, you were telling me there's a reason for the orange slices?
Yes, because the feijoada itself is very, it's a very heavy meal and very fattening. So the orange helps cut back a little bit on
and some of that fat. Yes. It must take all day to make that dish.
Yes, it's time consuming, but it is so worth it at the end.
Okay. Well, talk about delicious. We haven't gotten to Brazilian desserts.
Of course, Linda. Nothing would be complete without dessert.
Dessert. So tell me your favorite one, Anna.
My favorite one, my favorite one in particular is what we call here in Miami flan, but in Portuguese we call it pudim de leite, which would translating
into flan.
Would be,
right.
Yeah, it would be
something of milk.
A milk pudding.
Yeah.
And that's made out of condensed milk and eggs, and you just put it in the oven in a water bath for about an hour.
Right, and then, but you also mentioned that there was a chocolate dessert.
Yes, it's called...
let's get to the basic problem here.
Yes, it's called brigadeiro, and basically what they are is chocolate truffles. And they are very successful in Brazil at weddings, at baby showers, at children's parties, everything.
Well, now, how do they differ from a regular chocolate truffles? Are they similar to... what we find in the stores here?
They're very simple to make. They're actually just made out of condensed milk, a little bit of butter, and some Nesquik, believe it or not.
Oh, so it's not Nesquik? Even real cocoa.
No.
But they turn into these chocolatey, delicious, scrumptious, and then you let it cool off, and you just make little balls of them, you know, little...
She's making them as she's talking. She's rolling
hands together.
And then
you just covered them with chocolate sprinkles.
So, that's a very interesting, simple and easy to do. Now, also you were mentioning that to me that if you're going down to Brazil, the hotels are already full.
Yes, pretty much the hotels in Rio are pretty much already booked out. I think they are up to 90% already. Mm.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, it's been really fascinating. We'll look forward to World Cup next week.
Yes, thanks, Anna.
It's been a very tasty week, Anna French. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show, Linda.
Well, no, thank you for all this wonderful food.
Thank you.
Her book is A Pinch, A Dash, and A Pocket Full of Cash, Simple Recipes for the Budget-Conscious Cook. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Bonnie Berman.
Thank you, and
great
thank you,
to be
Fred.
With you.
Yes.
Great to be with you. And next week, it's going to be all about fried chicken. We'll be talking about with Lee Schrager. He has a book called Fried and True. So I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.